of a, I suppose you might call it a mantra or a phrase that they often repeat as part of their meditations. And that is the familiar words, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And if the church was some kind of secret nightclub, then Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, might be the password that lets us in. Because that's why we come this morning, because we need God's mercy. The other thought I had as we think about what we share as we come to communion is that when we come into God's kingdom, when we receive the forgiveness that's freely offered to us in Christ, as we enter into the new life that he gives us through his Spirit, we are entering into a new economy, the economy of God's kingdom. We've been thinking about Greece, of course. They go to the polls today. They're in a state of great turmoil because they have a debt that they cannot really pay back. They were loaned a lot of money, probably inappropriately, and there is almost no way, it would seem, that they can pay that money back. And the people who are owed the money still want it, but it seems that they are in no position to give it back either now or tomorrow. But there are some verses that we read in Colossians 2:14, where it says, He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And that's the NIV translation, but in the New Living translation and others, the actual phrase where it says he cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that actually refers to a list of our debts. That it was a legal phrase that where if you owed somebody something, it was written down on that legal document. And in a sense, that document was a list of what the person owed, of what stood against them. And on the cross, that note is taken away. It's as if it's nailed to the cross. And on the cross, of course, what did used to be nailed to the cross was the list of the accusations against the person who was being crucified. But in this very beautiful picture, we have this idea that instead of the list of Jesus' sins being there, he was, of course, sinless. It's the list of our transgressions, of the debt that we cannot pay, that is nailed to that cross. In our home group on Thursday, we thought about the parable of the unmerciful servant. It arose from a series of studies we're doing on the Lord's Prayer. And that phrase, forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins, we forgive those who are in debt to us. And at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive, you also won't be forgiven. And that seems rather strange and rather perturbing, because we're so used to being told that our forgiveness is a free gift. And that seems to be making it conditional. But actually, what Jesus is saying is that when you receive his forgiveness, we are entering into that new economy, the economy of grace, the economy where we receive. And if we are unable to also give in the way that we have received, it shows that we have never really truly entered in. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. So the thing I want us to think about this morning as we come to communion is that we come as those who are in need of mercy and grace. But our whole life as Christians should be lived in that new economy. And so often we slip back into the old way of living, which is a way of living based on our own attempts at self-sufficiency. And I sometimes think, you know, why is the prayer life of the church sometimes so poor? Well, I think that the basic problem is that we think we can do most of it ourselves. And we only turn to God for the little bits on the end that we think we can't manage. And so it is, we live in this relationship whereby our God is the God of crisis. Our God is the God we turn to when our own plans run onto the rocks. But that's not the way it's meant to be. Our whole Christian experience is supposed to be an experience of continually receiving God's grace. In Galatians it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And it says, the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This idea that even in the simple things that we know we can do ourselves, theoretically, we are still living in that state of reliance on Christ, of looking to him, of asking him what he wants us to do, of relying on his strength and not our own. So I hope that that reminds us as we come and share communion this morning that it is all grace. We live in the economy of grace. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew. I just wanted to say also that for the collection, what I've done is I'm not going to have a formal collection this morning. If anybody feels they'd like to give through the offering bag, they're on the communion table. And as you go out to the back for tea and coffee, feel free to give your donation if you feel so led. So the economy of grace, that's why we're here. That's why we're as a church. That's without the cross, we are nothing. Back to the Church of England again. When they do communion in my home church, they always have a confession beforehand. And I think sometimes it's really helpful to focus on why we're here. We don't like admitting that we've done things wrong, but in God's sight, nobody can match up, so it doesn't matter. We have all fallen short. So there's going to be some words above us, and I'd like us to all say the confession together. After that, I'm going to say some words, and there's going to be some. They're up above my head, and the bold ones I'd like you to say with me. When we do take communion, we're going to the music group are really helpfully going to sing a song which helps us think about that as well. So we're going to sing half the song, and then I'm going to ask people to share out the bread, and then the last couple of verses, and then the wine. And hopefully you'll understand why I've done it that way. But as we come to communion, think about what Andrew said about the grace we receive through Jesus, about why he needed to die on the cross, the immense love of God. And just be listening to God. Like, what is he saying to you this morning? What does he want to share with you? What do he want you to share with others? There's going to be some spaces and some silence, and I really hope that God speaks with you and meets you this morning. So let's start by saying the confession. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of you. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him, his blood shed for all.
Thank you. Christ will come again and will join.
as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church, throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise, and we lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. I'm going to have a time of silence now where we just listen to God, focus on what we've done today. And after a while, the music group will start playing and we'll sing some songs. But if during this time you feel you have something you'd like to share, just come and find me or come up the front and the music will stop and we want to listen to what you have to say and what God is saying to you. And even if it's nothing specific this morning, but it's something that's struck you this week, or something you've been moved by, please do come and share it with the church for encouragement.
Going to sing some worship songs now. The first one is a new one, so we're going to play that through and Holly will sing it, but it's pretty straightforward. It's really lovely, so we'll start with that one.
of deliverance from my enemies. praise you for the blood. Praise you for the blood. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Praise you for the blood. Praise you for the love. keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Father, thank you for your love. Thank you so much for your love, which is so abundant, even when we're not deserving. You give us so much love. You see the best in us. You see so much value in us. Lord, you see us for what we are. You see us as your children, and you love us. Thank you so much for the love you give us, Lord, which is so abundant, so undeserved. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, though life can cause us to put up all our defences and drain the joy from us that we initially found in you, I just pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to the extent of what you have for us, that you've given us every spiritual blessing, and that your joy can be our strength, Lord. So I just pray that we'd all learn to enjoy falling back on your grace, God, by jumping out of the boat and knowing that your grace is always, always enough.
Thank you, Jesus, that your agenda is so excellent. It's about liberating. It's about... it wasn't about hanging around with the elite and those who appeared to have got it right. It was about hanging around with the people who'd got it wrong, because your heart was so full of love. The people who everyone else wouldn't go near and rejected. Yet those were the very people you sought out. And we just thank you for that. So countercultural. And even though we've had 2,000 years to study the accounts of your life, the church so often gets it wrong. And we just thank you, Jesus, for the example you set to us. And we thank you that you haven't just set an example, you've actually given us your Holy Spirit to go out and do likewise. We thank you, Lord. Please help us to really take this seriously in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are worthy of our praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Please stand and sing with us.
I just thought I'd share a little bit of sort of my testimony from the last year, because I felt very encouraged overall, but it's also been kind of discouraging at times. And a word that several people gave to me at the beginning of this academic year was the word blossoming, and I was quite excited by that because I felt like I was ready to have some times of blossoming. But then, probably a month or two after I'd been given those words, I got very ill with anxiety and exhaustion. And I didn't really feel like I was blossoming very much. I just felt I just felt exhausted and messed up in lots of different ways. But I think over the last year, I felt like God has spoken to me quite powerfully at times. And something that I felt God say to me actually before this exam term that I've just had, I was in the shower and praying, and I was feeling a bit low, and I just prayed, God, I really need a word for today. And the word that popped into my head straight away was the word flourish, or flourishing. And I kind of laughed at that because I really did not feel like I was flourishing at all. And I was like, seriously, are you telling me I'm flourishing? Because I don't feel like I'm flourishing. But I looked up the word flourishing on Bible Gateway. And I read this passage, which I found really powerful, and it's about how Isaac he's had to move out of where he was living because the Philistines were kind of getting worried about how well he was doing, and he's trying to find somewhere to camp, and all the wells that his father had built had been closed up by the Philistines. And he tries to kind of reopen several different wells, but people keep quarrelling over them. But eventually he comes to a well, and this is the verse that has flourishing, and it says, he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one crawled over it. He named it Rehoboth, which means room, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. And I think that has sort of been my experience this year, that God has sort of been giving me room to be more myself. And I think when you're when you feel like you're in a bit of a mess, I felt like my sort of walls came down a bit and I could express myself more, and also not feel like I always have to be giving things to other people, but actually it's okay to sort of take time and to let God sort of work in me and give me space to be myself. So yeah, I've just been really encouraged that actually, even though the last few months have not been very nice in lots of ways, I've also felt like God has been changing me a lot. And a couple of my friends at the end of this year said to me that they felt like I was different and that I was more me in some way. And so that, yeah, really encouraged me that that we can flourish in the difficult places, and even when we feel like our wells are all being stopped up, that actually God has a space for us. So I'll just pray about that. Dear Lord, thank you that that you want us to flourish, and you want to give us room to be ourselves. And I pray that yeah, for everyone here this morning, that you would really speak into our lives, and that you would show us that we do have room, and that the world often asks a lot of us, and life can be very busy. But I pray that you would give us a real peace and a real space to become more like you. And I thank you that sometimes that doesn't always look like the way we think it will. But I thank you that you you have a plan, and even when we don't understand it, I thank you that you show us how faithful you are. Amen.
I've been wondering whether I should share with you, but actually what I really wanted to share is so much like what Ella has just said that it feels as though, yes, perhaps I should. I've been reading Hebrews over this last month or so. I have to say that I've never found Hebrews as really one of my favourite books, but I'm coming round and I'm beginning to feel differently about it. And really what I wanted to share was about, there's a chapter that I've never liked very much about God disciplining us. And I'm not very keen on discipline. I'm much more keen on my own way and having it really pleasant and, yeah, no ups and downs. But the chapter, I think it's chapter 12, the chapter that talks about discipline talks about it being a sign of God's love. So I guess perhaps the message to Ella, and I think the message she's already picked up, is that even the tough times of the last year have been a sign of God's love. I don't believe he sends, or I think the troubles we have are part of the broken world that we're in and for which we're partly responsible. But the amazing thing is that God uses the tough times to bless us. And when we were singing that song a few moments ago, asking for the Holy Spirit to be in us and to be leading us, I really wanted to stand up and say, this should have a danger notice attached, because if we pray that, and if we mean it, we may very well have some tough times ahead, because because it's in the tough times that we learn to trust, and that we learn something about God's grace and his sufficiency. And that linked with something else in Hebrews, because in chapter 5 it talks about Jesus learning obedience through the things that he suffered. And he wasn't learning obedience because he was disobedient, but he was learning obedience day after day in doing what he heard his father say. And it took him, as we know, into such a difficult path. And maybe if we're learning obedience, he will have to let us go through difficult times. So I think really what I wanted to say is that if you've had a week with some difficulties, or maybe a month or year with some difficulties, ask God to show you if perhaps that is a sign of his love for you because of something very special that he wants to do in you. And the very special thing can be summed up in making us more like Jesus. But also just be encouraged, because even Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And then we read as well that because of all that, he is able to help us in those times, which is really what Ella was saying. Sometimes it's so black we don't see it. We don't see it for quite a while. But it's happening even when it's black. And then sometimes he lets, it's as though the sun breaks through and we begin to see what that was about. So really, I guess it was just to say I'm beginning to look at Hebrews a bit differently. And also just to encourage you to remember that when we pray that God will do something in us, that that's quite a dangerous prayer, because he will take us at our word, and we may not like the way he chooses to do it, but he is to be trusted, and he is total love.
I've never been up here before, never again. I happened to be in Bath yesterday with Christine, and we popped into the Abbey for some prayer that I'll get a... Anyway, some clothes. But anyway, I've been through a very difficult time for the last 2 years, but I saw a little candle in the Abbey yesterday, and the and then you can take away a verse, and the verse is John 15:15-17, and it's an abridged version in the New Revised Standard Version, and it says, "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You do not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in his name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another and remember, go on seeking." So I have been seeking, and I'm seeking a settlement in this work-related situation that I've been in for 2 years. And I've had great support from people at Alma. Ruth has come round with a duster, Sarah came round, Sally has helped with some writing, and Christine being very patient yesterday, and all sorts of people and friends from my church in South Arrow, and people come, felt the Lord calling them from Wales, never mind, they must have had a passport somewhere. So this week, I just need a bit more strength to continue to seek, go on seeking God, really. So that's where I'm at, and that's it, really. I won't go down the steps, because I'm celebrating my birthday next weekend.
I think I should share, I'm not absolutely sure what's going to come out. As we were taking communion and Laura invited us to think about what God might be saying to us, I was struck by something very simple, which was just that God, Jesus, doesn't ask us to do anything he hasn't already done. And as a human, I think, oh, I'm human, God, you can't expect me to be like that. You know, and it's just a bit much to always be sinful and always be saying, sorry, I've messed up. And I just can't be bothered, sort of that sort of conversation in my head. And then just really struck me that although I know what I'm doing when I'm thinking those thoughts, that I've actually forgotten that Jesus has done it all, and he knows all about it as a human, as well as God. That's where I began. And I heard a sermon this week on the internet that was very tied up with a lot of the songs, which was about fear and perfect love casts out fear, and how they're sort of opposites in a sense. And I think if we get what Nick was praying, which really struck me, and I want to thank him for that, about dusting off the plaque that says I'm a child of God. Sorry, I'm shaking. Then we would really get that perfect love a bit more, because we would be safe in our identity. And the verse that came to mind also was in John 16, not far off Janet's verse. It talks about Jesus praying for his disciples and how he asked for them to be one as he was one with his Father. And it talks about being protected, him asking for God to protect them by the power of his holy name. And I just think how much to live in that place of perfect love and faith. It really is the power that we need, and the Holy Spirit. We can't think ourselves into a safe place. We can't imagine ourselves into a safe place. We can't even hope we'll do something strongly enough and then we'll do it right. But actually, it's just we have to ask. And this, again, this sort of reliance that we really need on God, this total reliance. And a verse that I read in the week, plodding through the Old Testament, really struck me. It's very tiny. And in some ways, in the context, if I can see it without glasses, is actually quite depressing. But it's actually a good lesson for thinking of the hopeful side. It's about Israel when they're likely to mess up, and their enemies will come against them. And it says this: they will lay siege to all the cities throughout your land, and the high fortified walls in which you trust will fall down. And it just really struck me how, even though it's quite sensible to have protection and make plans and be safe and take measures that are quite reasonable, but actually it's so dangerous to end up relying on them, and that these high fortified walls would just go down because God decided they needed to learn. And yeah, what a good place it would be if we could be one, and yeah, for our high fortified walls to be completely down, not because there's an enemy, but because we've trusted totally in God and we have that perfect love without fear.
Just a really little one. I really loved Nick's prayer as well, and I love the bit in the reading Ella gave about there will be room now. There will be room, and I'd kind of substitute the word space for that. There will be space now, and we will flourish. And I love that. And I've been very interested and influenced in the last couple of years by Franciscan theology and just mystical, the ancient desert fathers and things. And they talk a lot about needing to create a space or even just acknowledge your own inner space. And I love Nick's prayer because I remember reading Henry Nouwen saying about attending to your inner room, that place within you that is where you are, who you really are, or your soul, or whichever word you want to put on it. But in that inner space, what's written on the walls of your inner space? And Nick's prayer sort of brought that back to mind. And actually, we can't even really, my experience tells me that I can't expect to even really acknowledge my inner space or know what's in there or what Jesus is saying to me in there or what's written on the walls or anything unless I give time and space for him to show me that. And there's no easy or quick way around that other than spending periods of time just quietly in his presence, which is very difficult for some, I realise, and easier for others of us. And also probably has something to do with temperament. This need probably has something to do with temperament. So I'm not saying, because this is my experience, everyone should do this or be like this, because we're all unique. But certainly I think for a lot of us, there's an unacknowledged need, perhaps, in our society, which reveres busyness and achievement and ticking off to-do lists and talking, and doesn't really sort of revere silence and stillness and quiet and space and doing nothing. You're not really doing nothing, are you, when you're sitting with God? But it's a real challenge, I think. And I just would like to encourage you to, particularly those of you who perhaps have a similar temperament to me, perhaps you're slightly more introverted or you're just a more reflective person, to not deny that part of you, but to allow God to just allow yourself to be in your inner space and look for God there and see what he's saying to you there and look at what's written on the walls. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody who shared this morning. That's a lot to think about. Let's continue to have conversations over tea and coffee and picnics in the garden. Just going to pray to close the service. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth will live to praise your name. Amen.